You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
March the 5th, 2020, Indian warrior princess Elizabeth Warren putting the hatchet down, biting the dust. Senator Elizabeth Warren shutting down her campaign, setting up a one-on-one showdown now between Sanders and Biden. So far, no word on which of those two might get her support and her votes and any money that might have been going to her that they'll try to shuffle and say, can you use some of it? This is no surprise. It's no surprise at all. She has not been placing well, was not going to do well. I don't even think on an Indian reservation since she's a native Indian. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. That all got debunked. I take it all back. And now she's debunked. And then this surfaces. Bernie Sanders says, when the convention opens, if Joe Biden has the most delegates when it opens, doesn't even mean he has the winning number, but if he has the most delegates, I will step aside. That's what Bernie says. Now, we'll see what happens come then. So what happens next now? Well, we have John LaBoutière joining us later. John, of course, is a former U.S. congressman. Identifies as a Reaganite, not a Trump supporter, maybe more liberal in views than some of you would like, but I want to get his thoughts and his predictions on where we go from here. With Bloomberg getting out, Warren getting out, and now the Democrats are left between Bernie and Biden. All right, here's something you can see coming. I'm beginning to think that the Iran Supreme Leader is listening to this program. Because I just casually mentioned the other day, I can't wait for someone to blame us for coronavirus. Boom, here it is. Iran coming forward, blaming the U.S. for coronavirus. So if the Supreme Leader of Iran is listening, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Oh, by the way, California Governor Newsom. They now have one fatality in the state of California from coronavirus. One fatality. One. And he's declaring a state of emergency. Last year, just in L.A., they had nearly 1,000 homeless die on the streets. 1,000. But now it's a state of emergency. And there's a political reason behind that. I'll explain coming up later. Senator Schumer, frightening words, threatening words aimed at two U.S. Supreme Court justices named by President Trump. Schumer doesn't like how they might rule on an abortion case. Doesn't make any difference which case. He's not going to like it because they are appointed by Trump and it's an abortion case. So he went ballistic. I want you to hear what he said. And immediately Missouri Senator Josh Hawley said, we need to take legislative action against Schumer. I want more than that, Josh. I want Senator Schumer charged with a criminal threat. Howsomever, I think Senator Schumer has spies looking over my shoulder as I'm preparing the program because shortly after I wrote those words so I could make sure I had them in front of me to make it clear, I want him charged with a criminal threat. He is on the floor of the Senate offering an apology, mea culpa, standing there saying, I shouldn't have used the words I did, but in no way was I making a threat. Republicans are busy manufacturing outrage. Really, you're going to hear his comments in a moment, and you tell me, are we making it up? By the way, that Nashville tornado the other night, they are still, of course, going to try to recover everything, put everything back together, counting the dead. I've spent decades in news business covering various tornadoes, seen damage from a lot of them, and there was one that almost cost me my life. I'll have a personal story on that coming up a little bit later. Oh, one other thing. I have a poker player friend who was in New York recently. He went to one of these underground poker games they have in New York. You know, they're kind of protected. You walk in, you're frisked, make sure you're not carrying any weapons. You get to sit down and play and whatever the stakes are. He said, I've done this before, but when I get frisked, I walk into the room, and there are three tables in play, and everybody at each table was wearing a mask. Not like to rob you, but fear of coronavirus. He said, I thought my best bet at that time was to turn around and leave. And he did. Oh, it's ruining poker games now? All right, we got a lot to cover for the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. It's been a
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
Those are the words of Senator Chuckie Schumer, Minority Leader of the Senate, standing on the steps of the Supreme Court, calling out two of the Supreme Court justices by name, Kavanaugh, Gorsuch. Oh, I think he said Gorsuch, whatever he said. Both nominated by President Trump. And they are now considering, along with the rest of the court, an abortion case. I'll get to the abortion case details in a moment, but I will tell you this. The bottom line is, if it's anything to do with abortion, you know the left is going to go wacko-wacko on it. And they're fearing that justices appointed by President Trump will make a ruling which will further restrict abortions. Keep in mind, these are the same people that believe even in fifth-term abortions. By that, I mean the baby is being born, and maybe the mom decides I don't want it. Or they tried to abort the baby, and it's still being born, and then they're trying to make a decision. Do we kill it? That's infanticide. That is murder. You cannot deny, you cannot argue at that point, well, it's just a little cell. It's more than a little cell at that point. And yet the Democrats have gone so far as to endorse that kind of attitude. So here is Senator Schumer standing outside the Supreme Court making that remark. Immediately, he got a response, very rare response, from the Chief Justice. Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, John Roberts, issued a highly unusual and a forceful rebuke. In a statement, a written statement, he said, "This morning, Senator Schumer spoke at a rally in front of the Supreme Court while a case was being argued inside. Senator Schumer referred to two members of the court by name and said he wanted to tell them, 'You have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You will not know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.'" That's the statement by Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice John Roberts, quoting Chuck Schumer, as you heard a moment ago. And the statement from the Chief Justice continues, "Justices know that criticism comes with the territory, but threatening," and he's using the term threatening. Stop and think for a moment. This is a Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. You know he chose his words carefully. He could have said simply, "but making statements of this sort." What he said was, "but threatening statements of this sort from the highest levels of government are not only inappropriate, they are dangerous. All members of the court will continue to do their job without fear or favor from whatever quarter." How many times have we heard the left cry out that Trump is trying to threaten judges and push this around and push that around, and that he's so bad? What did Schumer just do? Can you possibly say that was not a threat? The Chief Justice identified it as a threat. Well, let's break down something that Schumer, and yes, those of you who's joining late, I know he has now gone to the floor of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, and started apologizing in hopes it just goes away. Because see, that's what the left does. They can make all kinds of obscene, slanderous, scurrilous, nasty remarks and comments. And then when they're called on account of it, then they say, "Well, we're sorry. Let's move on." I want you to hear again the words of Senator Schumer standing on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court, motioning toward the court and calling out justices by name.
"I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions."
That again, Senator Schumer. You heard the crowd yelling because it's a pro-choice crowd. And they're glad to have Senator Schumer do that. He said, "You will reap the whirlwind." What does that mean? You know the terminology comes from the Bible. Hosea 8:7. "Reap the whirlwind. Suffer serious consequences as a result of your actions." The expression alludes to the proverb that they that sow the wind shall reap the whirlwind. In other words, if you take your seed that you're going to plant and just throw it in the air, it's not going to do you any good. And you're not going to have anything for it in return, and you're going to suffer consequences. In the Hebrew Bible's book of Hosea, God finds the Israelites worshiping an idol of a calf. In the 1611 King James Version, it says, "They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind." Again, consequences of already bad actions will be made even worse. So that is exactly why when you hear Schumer say that, it's clearly a threat. Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, stepping forward immediately saying, "I would call on Schumer to apologize, but we all know he has no shame. So I will introduce a motion, to censure Schumer for his pathetic attempt at intimidation of the Supreme Court." And even the left-wing Harvard Law School professor Lawrence Tribe tweeted out, "Those remarks by Senator Schumer were inexcusable, and Chief Justice Roberts was right to call him on his comments. I hope the senator, whom I've long admired, considered a friend, apologizes and takes back his implicit threat. It's beneath him and his office." That's a left-wing friend of Schumer. Schumer's office after they started getting calls and complaints about it issued a press statement basically trying to say there's justification in what he said. Congressman Meadows, Republican of Ohio, said this press statement falls, well, here are his words.
Here's the interesting thing is his spokesman puts out this unbelievable declaration that supposedly he was talking to Senate Republicans. There's only two problems with that. He was standing in front of the Supreme Court and he mentioned two Supreme Court justices. Listen, this is typical Chuck Schumer. What he wants to do is actually rile up the base and make sure that what they do is put as much political pressure in the media, not only on the Supreme Court, but on the president, but these kind of tactics won't work because the American people won't stand for it.
No, the American people won't, but the left will, and they endorse it, and they shout, hallelujah. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican, Kentucky, on the Senate floor this morning. He called out Schumer for those remarks. And let me see, he said, there's nothing to call this except a threat. Nothing to call this except a threat. Those are the words of Senator McConnell, Republican. As I said, Republican Josh Hawley of Missouri wants him to be censored. I told you that the letter, the statement from the Chief Justice Roberts says it was out of line, out of bounds. President Trump, of course, has weighed in and said, it's a disgrace to the Supreme Court and to the U.S. Senate. So Chuck Schumer today decided, this isn't going the way I thought it would when I stood out there with everybody and started saying all of this, so maybe I need to reconsider something. And in fact, that is something that Congressman Meadows said, that there's an option for Chuck Schumer. He suggested, he could try to walk it back.
He just should apologize and say, I misspoke. I send an apology. He can criticize their decisions all day long. But when you start making threats, whether they're veiled threats or not, it's just inappropriate.
It is. And apparently the word finally got to Schumer, as I said. Today he appeared on the floor of the Senate and stood there. And let me get the quote here in front of me if I can. There's so much of it coming in rapidly here at this point. Let me see. Basically, he stood on there and said, I shouldn't have used the words I did. But in no way was I making a threat. I never, never would do such a thing. You just did. You did. But never would I do such a thing. And Leader McConnell knows that. Well, apparently not, because you did. And then he goes on saying Republicans are busy manufacturing outrage over these comments. They know, too, that I never would do such a thing as to make a threat. You take us to be total idiots? You take us to be total idiots when you said, you go down this path, you justices, these two in particular, if you continue to deal with these abortion issues that we don't like your decisions on, you will pay a price? How different is that than a mobster walking into a shop and saying, hey, you know, I know you got some pretty pane glass windows there so you could show your merchandise. You're very pretty. I know you'd like to have them intact tomorrow morning, right? So why don't you give me a little vig here, and we'll work out something so nobody messes with your pane glass tomorrow. Is that a threat? Or is it just a suggestion that we'll protect, we'll make sure nobody touches your glass? You know what it is. I know what it is. Chuck Schumer knows what it is. So again, let's hear him one more time, because I will guarantee you everything he says is a direct threat.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
You won't know what hit you. So what is the case that they were rallying about? I told you to begin with, it really doesn't make any difference on the details. If it has anything to do with abortion, they're going to be there demanding you make a decision our way or else. Every one of those pro-lifers had that attitude. And, of course, pro-choicers. I know there are pro-lifers that have been jailed and charged with bombing abortion clinics and so forth, intimidating and threatening and killing. That's all wrong. That's clearly wrong. But when a U.S. senator makes a statement like that, the case they're considering right now is a part of a larger effort by red states trying to pass laws regulating abortion to test how supported the justices are going to be of Roe v. Wade. The law deals with abortion doctors in Louisiana having privileges at nearby facilities. The details don't matter. I had an email come from a listener in Florida, and he raises an interesting question, and it fits perfectly with this threat by Chuck Schumer, and that is how the Democrats, the liberals, are trying to destroy this presidency in so many different ways. Please stand by.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the Dow Jones is taking a hit today, down something like 700 or so. It took a big jump the other day. Did you see that? It took a big jump when it became clear that Biden was going to carry, it appeared at that point, the Democrats as opposed to Bernie. Wall Street hates and fears Bernie. And, of course, before that it went down for fears of coronavirus. And the left was blaming Trump for that. So Dave in Florida sent me this text, emails. You can too, LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com, LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com, or go to LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. Even while we're on the air right now, you can add some comments, and I'll try to read them before we get off the air, if they get to me in time. But Dave stated, one of Trump's many successes has been the large gains in the stock market. I can't prove it, but my growing sense is that the Dems have been trying to reduce this market performance through media stunts, such as promoting shock and awe relative to the so-called pandemic. He said, I think of the associated school shutdowns in California. Maybe these actions are warranted, better safe than sorry, but if they could concoct a way to take the market down further, I'll bet they would do it. You're right, Dave. Stay after it, Larry. Oh, I am. I'm like a dog sicking. You just say, sick him. I'm on him. Yes, sir, to do that. We'll do that continually. And they have already tried to manufacture and say the stock market's suffering the other day. And yeah, it's suffering, but it's a global economy. And yet, this number just coming out. Jobless claims fell by 3,000 to a seasonally adjusted 216,000, suggesting the labor market remains strong despite fears of coronavirus. Despite. And also, here's something else to keep in mind. California Republicans are looking forward to a comeback in 2020 after early election returns from Super Tuesday showed them leading in six of the 7 congressional returns, districts, I should say, they lost to Democrats in the 2018 midterm elections. That is in California. Republicans looking to get back in. So they're going to accelerate. The left will accelerate whatever they can. Chuck Schumer thought, standing outside the Supreme Court, pointing back to it, making these remarks, would also undermine and damage this president. Chuck Schumer again.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
There he goes. That's good enough. You will pay the price. You can hear the anger, the angst, the hate. You will pay the price. Yep. They manufacture. They exaggerate. They fabricate if necessary. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my guest, John LaBoutière, will give me his take on Indian Warren putting down her hatchet this time around. Bernie, Bloomberg, Biden, all to come. You don't want to miss it.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And we welcome back one of my favorite guests of all time, John LaBoutière, former U.S. Congressman, a Reaganite, and he has some very candid views that he does not mind sharing, even right in my face. Go ahead, John. Welcome aboard.
Hello, Larry. I don't sugarcoat it, but I love being on with you. Hello, hello. How are you today?
Doing great. So, we got a lot to cover since we were last together.
Yeah.
We're going to start with the Super Tuesday and all that, but let's fast track. Today, the Indian princess put down her hatchet and said, I'm out of the race. I'm done.
she's out. I don't think she's going to endorse anybody for a while because I think she wants to be the VP running mate with somebody.
Uh-huh.
And if you endorse one, the other one will be ticked off at you. So my guess is she's out. And she'll stay neutral for a while, I'm guessing, but who knows?
Well, now, of course, she sides more philosophically with Sanders. She's been more to that far side of the left than Biden. Do you think Biden would consider her?
Well, I think you consider a lot of people. I think ultimately, she's going to be on his list, if only to assuage the Bernie group, the Bernie faction of the party, and being a woman.
And that's and the Bernie faction is a very big part of it right now.
Very big part.
I still
think the likely one is Kamala Harris because you get color on there. And I think
California,
both tickets are going to, whether it's Bernie or Biden, and it's going to be Biden, I think, to be the nominee. They're going to need someone of color on that ticket and maybe a woman of color.
So Super Tuesday kind of set all of this in motion, and part of the other fallout was Buttigieg, Klobuchar, and, of course, Bloomberg.
Correct. Well, what set it in motion, really, was the debate in South Carolina the last a week ago Tuesday night, the Wednesday morning Jim Clyburn unbelievably potent endorsement, which endorsed Biden not just among blacks in South Carolina, but blacks all over the country. And that was it. That's the rocket ship took off. And we saw what happened in South Carolina on Saturday. And it's been a steady roll for Biden ever since. Into today, he got the endorsement of the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, and the Michigan primaries this coming Tuesday. And we all remember 4 years ago, Bernie was on the ropes a little bit against Hillary, and he goes into Michigan, and he won by double digits, I think. I know that he won a surprising victory that day. Looks this time like he's going to lose next Tuesday.
Does Bernie have the attitude, I mean, I can't really get inside the guy's mind, not sure I want to, but I think the general attitude of many of us has been, the Democrat Party, along with Hillary, destroyed Bernie last time, and once again, the establishment party with Biden is going to destroy him again. In other words, the fix has been in. Although they would have liked somebody better than Biden, they ain't going to go for Bernie.
Well, I know that's sort of what some people say, but I think that, you know, you got to win an election on your own. And the problem with Bernie is he can't grow his support beyond where it's at. Last time, he had anti-Hillary factored in. A lot of Democrats didn't like Hillary, and they went with Bernie. He's not getting those votes this time because there's no Hillary. He's getting 25%, but 75% of the party's going against him. And he hasn't grown. He kept saying, oh, I'll bring a whole new group of voters in. Well, where are they? They haven't appeared. They didn't appear in New Hampshire or Iowa, or a little bit they did in Nevada. He does better, it appears, in caucuses and primaries. Who could have thought, you know, that Joe Biden, with no money and not even going to most of the Super Tuesday states, would win 10 of them? 10.
It's
unbelievable.
I think, like you said, the Clyburn endorsement, wind at his back coming out of South Carolina, suddenly accelerating it. But the thing he still does not have and may not get yet would be an Obama endorsement.
Oh, he'll get that in due time. That's coming.
I have a specific reason I raise it, but you go ahead and explain your point first.
Well, I think my guess is Obama behind the scenes has been goosing Buttigieg, Amy, Beto, all of them, to go ahead and endorse Biden. I think that there's a hand of Obama in there. Susan Rice endorsed Biden the same day on Monday. There was a flood of them. And I think Obama is somehow behind the scenes giving a wink and a nod, go ahead and do it.
And everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid.
And I don't think he's going to come out. Presidents generally don't endorse in primaries. They wait till the party has made its choice, then they get on board in the general election, which he'll definitely do.
All right, here's the other question. One of my other frequent guests, Dr. Gerard Lamero, is saying he thinks that Biden might just be a placeholder anyway going forward and might be a placeholder even at the convention, and that Obama, that Michelle could still come into play.
Well, I would my view on that is Biden is no placeholder. Biden's in this thing for himself. I would take your guests' theory and slightly tweak it, which is the first phone call Joe Biden should make for a running mate should be to Michelle Obama, just to see if she'd take it. I don't think she wants to be in elected office, but if she had changed her mind over the last few years, she would be a dynamite running mate. That ticket, Biden and Obama, reverse of Obama, Biden, would win a huge victory. Because she's so popular, Michelle Obama.
Of course, the vote of the public is always for at the top of the ticket. But with Biden and his health and everything, how many are really going to be more concerned as to can he go the distance, and who will be there next in line?
Well, that may be a factor. You know, I mean, there's no example of – there's nothing specific about Biden's health to alarm us. He hasn't, you know, started drooling during the debates or something. But is going to be 78 in November. We've never had anybody close to that as president.
Well, you know, even Bernie said – was talking at kind of – you know, still saying he's fine with his health and so forth, but suggesting even then that we want someone that will be here to carry on. I mean, they have to look at it like that as opposed to just getting a running mate and what they can bring to the table, or do they not?
I think they should. They should get someone who not only helps them win the election, but passes the commander-in-chief test. Could you see this running mate as a president? Because they might either ascend to the presidency through some tragedy, or after 4 years, Biden or Bernie, if he's a nominee, he's not going to be, may not run again, and the vice president usually has a leg up. So, yeah, I think they're going to look at that.
You're listening.
I think it's, if it isn't Michelle Obama, it's, to me, the most logical one is Kamala Harris.
You're listening to John LaBoutière, former U.S. Congressman, author of the book Harvard Hates America, has his own podcast, Revolution, the underscore, right? Did I say that right? The Revolution?
No, I think it's just Revolution now.
The Revolution. I just take it. Okay, yeah. Good. Now, it's not just the White House, of course, that we want to be concerned about. We want to be concerned about, one, holding the Senate and getting control of the House. I have a piece here in front of me that the San Francisco Chronicle noted that California Republicans are hopeful for a comeback after early election return Super Tuesday showed them leading in 6 of 7 congressional districts they lost to Democrats in 2018.
What are they leading in? This is a primary. This wasn't a general election. What are they leading?
No. But apparently they're talking about that these districts targeted by Democrats in 2018, because they had voted for Hillary in 2016,
yep.
And so they're looking that they're going to maybe pick up seats in California, that more Republicans will be coming forward. I don't know. It's California. How do you interpret what's going on out there?
Well, you know, the thing is, you take Orange County. That's the home of Reagan. That's
John
where
Wayne.
The Reagan thing began.
Yeah.
And Nixon, too. You know, presidencies came out of that solid Republican county. And in 2018... we lost every single congressional seat, straight Democrat down there, which is hard to believe. So it's conceivable to me we might win a seat or two back in places like that that are really Republican, because that was a bad year. But we're not there yet. We don't know.
All right.
The top of the ticket does make a difference.
Let me give you the last 30 seconds, your quick assessment of Senator Schumer standing on the Supreme Court steps saying some of those justices will reap the whirlwind if they continue to go their direction on abortion issues.
I thought it was bad. I don't think he should have done it. He sort of apologized today, but I don't think he should have done it. And he's a smart guy. I'm sure maybe he regrets it, you know.
Well, he's gone on the Senate floor since and saying, I never would make a threat. Everybody knows I wouldn't. He did. He made a threat. That's a direct threat, in my opinion.
I think it was bad. Everything was bad. Going over there, being on the steps of the Supreme Court, turning and pointing up there towards the court where they are. He was really low, Schumer, and he shouldn't have done it. And it's beneath the office of a Senate minority leader to say stuff like that.
All right. John, again, we appreciate it. Look forward to having you back again soon.
Okay, Larry. Can't wait.
Thank you very much. John LaBoutière. Always glad to have him on board. By the way, guys, did you hear what Whoopi Goldberg said? You haven't heard this? Oh, you got to hear this. Please, stand by. It's coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Over. And
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There's an actor, you may not know him, I don't really know him, but he's saying that he's been blacklisted because he was publicly supporting Donald Trump in 2016. Antonio Sabato Jr. In an interview with Variety, the 48-year-old said, "I had to sell everything, leave Tinseltown not too long after Trump won the presidential bid. I had to pay all my debts. I was blacklisted. All my representatives left me, from agents to managers to commercial agents. I literally had to move to find a job to survive and take care of my kids." He said, "It's been terrible, mind-blowing, a disgrace. It's tough because if you're in that environment in Hollywood and you have something to say they don't like, they are going to let you know." Now, he has appeared in TV shows such as Melrose Place, The Bold and the Beautiful, General Hospital. He was one of the few celebrities speaking at the Republican National Convention. And he said, "I was the first celebrity to come out and talk about the president. He had my vote from day one. I was the first to say he was going to win. My integrity is intact." But he said, "Right now, I had to leave." Now he's in Florida, lives there and works in construction. Said, "I go to the job at 2 in the morning. I'm in the car all day, driving 5 days a week nonstop." He said, "I know a lot of actors are lying about who they're going to vote for because they don't want the crap I've had to deal with. Censorship inside Hollywood, the very elite establishment that claims and got upset with the McCarthy era and shutting down free speech. Hollywood doing it. I have no doubt it happened just like he said." In fact, he said he talked to a distribution company about producing a film. "They told me to my face, we will never do it with you because of your affiliation with the president." Now, Whoopi Goldberg knows which side her bread is buttered on. Whoopi and part of The View, maybe she's the chief principal of The View. I don't know. I've never watched it. I've looked at clips of different things I'm putting, news items. I have no idea. It's a bunch of women sitting around talking. I'm not knocking women doing that. Women have as much right to sit around and do that as men do to stand around in the junkyard chewing tobacco and spitting and scratching and talking. So be it. But what Whoopi said the other day is, "I'd like to see Dr. Jill Biden, Vice President Biden's wife, I'd like to see Dr. Jill Biden serve as Surgeon General." Let me see here. It's so easy. I'm going to do it right now in front of me. I'm going to go up here and I'm going to do this little Google thing, you know, because if you're never sure about somebody and you want to clarify something and you see that they're a doctor and you pull it up, and it says, "Yeah, doctor." But if you look closer, she ain't that kind of doctor. And yet Whoopi says, "I think Dr. Jill Biden, currently the wife of Joe Biden and would be the second lady if Biden gets in, that she could be Surgeon General." Well, couple of the comments of those on the show said, "We might have a problem with that." And Goldberg again stood by and said, no, I'm hoping Dr. Jill becomes the Surgeon General, his wife, Joe Biden's wife. He would never do it, but yeah, she's a hell of a doctor. She's an amazing doctor. In other words, Whoopi's talking about like she knows personally because she's treated her for something or prescribed something for her, that she's given her some kind of medical advice. Oversaw some medical procedure for her, that Jill Biden was right there beside Whoopi and dispensing and giving medical information. I mean, when she says those words, she's a hell of a doctor, she's an amazing doctor, does that not tell you that Whoopi has seen Dr. Jill Biden do the work of a general surgeon, a general practitioner? Maybe not a specialist doctor, but is a hell of a doctor, an amazing doctor. one of them said, Whoopi, I think she's a doctor, that the doctor thing is a PhD, that she has a doctorate in education. In fact, one of the other guests said, yeah, she's a teacher. She might be better as Secretary of Education. And Whoopi said, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. You just acted like not only could she be Surgeon General, you know personally she's a hell of a doctor, an amazing doctor. Caught you out there lying like that, like you know something, and you didn't even bother checking details. We all make mistakes, but Whoopi didn't just make a mistake. She wanted you to believe that I have seen this woman work as a doctor, and she would be a great doctor. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I have people tell me, you know, Larry, I really like listening to your program, but just as I get somewhere and I need to get out of the car, I'm trying to hear you wrap something up, and you tell me about something else yet to come, and I'm stuck. I can't get out of the car. Well, I'm going to do it again right now. Wait to hear what's happening in California.
Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.